Good morning, church family. I am recording this from my home. I'm on day 8 of quarantine. I got to go on a trip to a family wedding in California, which was gorgeous, in Lake Tahoe, and spent some time with my family for that wedding. But when I come back, now I got 14 days of staying inside my house, which can be crazy. But it's been actually pretty good with some adjustments. I've got a little Lifetime table set up at the foot of my bed for a little home office. I've been blessed to be able to work from home. And then now I get interrupted all the time by little kids who want to have wrestle matches. And so it's been fun. And we've been doing it. It's been working out. I just want to start by saying happy Father's Day. Of course, it is Father's Day. And that is the theme of this sermon for sure. I am super thankful for my own dad. And even as I say that, I know that just holidays in general, but on Father's Day, there's going to be mixed emotions. Some people are going to not have fathers in their life or still present with them. And so I just want to encourage everyone, regardless of your relationship with your father, just to remember that in Jesus, in God the Father, we have a perfect example, a perfect loving picture of what father should be and is, and it's going to guide our time today. But I just want to say I'm thankful for my own dad, who was present and who did pour into my life, my family's life, and who took the time to just show me how and what a follower just of Jesus does, and what that looks like, and what that the impact of following Jesus has on a father and a husband. And so I'm thankful. And Dad, if you ever watch this, I'm glad that you were my dad, and that you moved to the island, and now you live in Oahu, and I'm excited to see, as you take up your new position here in the Salvation Army on this island, just that our relationship will get to be a little bit easier and closer, and I'm looking forward to that. So thank you so much for everything you've done for me. Just as I started thinking about this sermon for Father's Day and thinking about fathers, it made me want to research some things I had heard and read and studied about fathers and the impact fathers have on families. And I came across a couple studies that I just want to share, because we kind of know intuitively that obviously mothers and fathers together play a vital role in kids. But in our culture, as fathers are becoming more distant and less a part of home and family life, like, I want to know, how impactful is that on a family? And check out this study. I just want to share this real quick. A few years ago, the Promise Keepers organization did a study, and they found that if a dad does not go to church, no matter how faithful the wife is, only one child in 50 will become regular worshipers as adults. That's insane. So if the dad stays home, so if the mom goes to church or not, it doesn't matter in this study, that if the dad stays home, only one in 50, as they grow up and as they make their decisions for themselves as adults, only one in 50 will go to church. However, if the father does go, check this out. If the father goes to church regularly, regardless of the practice of the mother, between 2/3 and 3/4 of their children will become churchgoers as adults. 66 to 75% of the kids will continue going to church and become churchgoers as adults if the dad will go to church regularly. If a father only goes to church sometimes, regardless of what the mom does, the stats come down, and now only like 50% to 66% of the kids will become regular church attenders as they grow up. But if the dad stays home and doesn't go to church at all, 2/3 of the kids will never darken the church doors again as adults, if the dad stays home. That's just amazing to me. And you know, it may sound like just that level of influence doesn't sound, might not sound accurate, but psychologists, criminologists, educationalists, and Christians know that the same thing the Bible teaches, that the father has a ton of influence over the family. In fact, there was another study done that was kind of interesting too. If a child in a family unit, if the child is the first one to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, there's a 3.5% chance that the rest of the family will become saved. Right? If a child is the first one. If a mother is the first one to be saved in a household, there is a 17% chance everyone else in the household will follow and become saved. However, when the father is the first person to be saved, there is a 93% probability everyone else in the household will follow. Isn't that crazy? That blows my mind. So here's the point of all this. Dad's impact on the families are huge. And just thinking about this, the role that dads play, whether they're there or not, impacts us. In fact, I heard it described this way, and I just wanted to share this. So I just got a phone call, which stopped the recording, so I have to start again. So here we go, continuing on. Here's how I've heard this picture of, we talk about how impactful dads are on our life, and regardless of how our relationship was with our dad, there was this illustration that really helped me understand what this looks like. So just picture everyone is given a box at birth, and it just is the fatherhood box on it. And if you've got a dad or not in your life, you start to put into this box pictures and ideas about what a father is. And you just start to drop it in the box throughout your life as you grow older and as you interact with fathers, your own or other, your friends' fathers, whatever, people who are father figures, you put their stuff into the box. And then, whether it's good or bad, you know, good memories from your own dad or maybe bad memories from your own dad, whatever it is, absent or present, all these different things go in there. And then as we get older, we start to hear that God is our good father. Like we just sang, he's the one who loves us and pursues us. And so we're like, okay, this is what God the Father is. And he's describing himself as father, and he is our father. But then that begins to clash with what we have in our box. Because that's not necessarily what we saw from our own fathers. Maybe they tried to give us unconditional love, but then we saw them fail. And sometimes they held on to bitterness or unforgiveness, or they were angry or wrathful or whatever it is. They didn't show us grace. And so it clashes. And so it doesn't matter. This is not just for boys or men or fathers. Every single one of us need to take this fatherhood box and dump it out and then start over with the Word of God to tell us what and how we fathers should behave. So we start to put in the box pictures that God tells us about how he loves us and pursues us unconditionally. And he's not just wrathful. He's also wrathful, but he shows us mercy and grace and love and forgiveness. And so you put that in the box until we have an accurate picture of who God is as our father. Every single one of us need to do that. Then we have a better grasp on his character and how much he loves us, and we can relate to him as God the Father better without the barrier of this garbage that was in our fatherhood box. So I encourage you, take some time, dump out what was put in there by life and by the broken, sinful world that we live in, and start to replace it with good, godly pictures. So with that in mind, I just want to spend a few minutes looking at four ways that we can be a good dad today. Now, don't check out. If you're not a dad, or you're single, or you're a student, or you're a kid, or you're a grandparent, whatever, don't check out, moms, whatever, because every single one of these characteristics are true for all of us as Christians. They have significance for fathers as well, and so I'm going to be speaking to them because it's Father's Day. As you go through this, listen to the Holy Spirit's prompting. I'm praying that one of these four characteristics will jump out and you'll go, okay, that's the one for me. This is the one that I need to spend time, taking action on. So apply that to your life. Don't just listen to them all and be like, oh, those were good. Take some time. Open your heart to the Holy Spirit. In fact, even as we go on right now, let's just pray right now that God can do that. God, I just thank you for this time we have to be in your word to wrestle very briefly with these characteristics of what a godly father looks like. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be in this process, that you would meet with people who are hurting right now in this season. Whether it's to do with Father's Day or not, there's a lot of hurt and pain, and we desperately need you, Jesus, to come in and be our comforter, to walk alongside this journey with us. God, I just pray two specific things as we just get started here. As we walk this journey with you, and we're doing our best to lay our life down and learn from you, we make mistakes, and sometimes we can just beat ourselves up with these mistakes. And so I just pray that your Holy Spirit would come and encourage us right now. Give us a little Holy Spirit pat on the back for just sticking with it and continuing on this path to be with you, God. And then the second thing is, encourage us. But also, if necessary, and it almost always is necessary, God, we actually invite the Holy Spirit to convict us. Encourage us when we're doing right, and encourage us down the right path, but also convict us when we're not allowing you to do that transformation work in our life. When we are actively blocking the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, God, convict us and encourage us today through your word. We just ask all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so here's the first thing. Number one. A godly father devotes themselves and their families to the Lord. A godly father devotes themselves and their families to the Lord. And the verse I want to go to is in the Old Testament, and it's in Joshua. And in this passage, this is Joshua 24, and Joshua has just gone down this list recounting to the Israelites who have finished 40 years of wandering in the desert. An entire generation of Israelites died because of their disobedience in the desert. And he recounts all the ways God has provided for them, miraculous things he has done for decades with these people. And then at the end of this big old long list, he then says this, Joshua 24, 14 through 15, which may be very familiar to you, because we see it printed on the house, on the walls of our house. He writes this, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away your gods. So throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, if that's not something you want to do, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." So that's usually what you see on someone's, door frame is the comment, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is a fantastic declaration that Joshua makes. But I just want to point out that after all the things that God has done, he says, look, you can't serve both. You get to choose. If you don't want to serve God, then run after all the things that the world offers, because there are tons of little g gods, idols that you can pour your life into and waste down those paths. But he says, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. It's important for us to remember that we can't have both. We can't pursue, fame, or we can't pursue money or success or comfort or safety or power in our jobs or positions and serve God. You can only have one master. And he's reminding us of this. There's so many things that are popular in this world, sex, money, stuff, anything. You can't be in both camps. You got to choose one. And then this is the second point that I just want to make from this passage here, is that who does it start with? It starts with me. He doesn't say, just as for my house, we will serve the Lord. He says, as for me and then my house, we will serve the Lord. It starts with me. It's not enough for me to say, my kids are going to be devoted to the Lord, or, my wife is going to be dedicated to the Lord. No, I'm going to be dedicated to the Lord. I'm going to devote myself to the Lord, and then I'm going to dedicate my family as well, and I'm going to lead them in that process. I mean, and that's a tall order, and it requires that we first spend that time to be devoted to the Lord, because we can't turn and do something on our own. We can't bring our family into this life that God is calling us to without first devoting ourselves. And so I wish I could cut away to a video of my wife just describing times when I've come to her and said, okay, this is going to be the thing that our family's going to do. We're going to spend regular time in family worship, and we're going to sing songs, and we're going to memorize scripture together. We're going to go through this passage, whatever, whatever. Like, she could just go on and on about that. But she knows what usually happens is I get all these ideas. We start a little bit, and then because of my own lack of discipline or my own commitment to whatever the idea is, it just fizzles out and dies away. And here's the thing. This is why I was so convicted about this, is that I need to first spend time with God, and then I can come and allow the Holy Spirit to guide my family. And he can use me to be an influencer in my family for good and for God. So I was actually at a hymn conference a few years ago, and I heard a pastor say this. So I'm going to put it up on the screen. Here's what it says. The most important thing a pastor can give his congregation. So this is from the pastor's perspective, but I'm going to show you. It's awesome. The most important thing a pastor can give his congregation is not his dynamic preaching or his wise counsel or his strategic leadership. It's his personal holiness, which comes from his devotion to the Lord. It's his personal holiness, which comes from his devotion to the Lord. So that's the most important thing a pastor can offer his church. And I think we'd all agree that that is a true statement. But it's the same thing with dads. It's the same thing with all of us. Here's the deal. I'm convinced that the most important thing we can give our families is not a safe home or a comfortable home or opportunities, providing for them. That's not the most important thing. Not taking them to sports or taking them to summer camps or driving them to dance lessons. Like, those are all good. I'm not saying anything that those are bad, but that's not the most important thing. The most important thing your family needs is for you to devote yourself to the Lord, your personal holiness that comes from devotion to the Lord. That's the most important thing. I want to look at Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, and just read this to us real quick, as we still are hanging out on this first point about our need to devote ourselves to the Lord. This is Deuteronomy 6:4 is the Shema. It was said all the time by Israelites families to this day. And here's how it goes. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And then it says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Now, I just want to stop right there because that can be overwhelming for a lot of us. Just like, how does that, what does that look like? How do I do that? I mean, I don't have the ability to get into God's word and produce these lessons and teach them. And you do, but you may not feel like you do. So we struggle with that. And as always, we want to just go right back to the text, keep reading, find out what, how do I do that? Here we go. So backing up a little bit, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. So what does he say? How do we do this? You just talk about God. And then when do you do this? Pretty much all the time. When you stand up, and when you sit down, and when you go for a walk, and when you're going somewhere with your family in the car, and when you're shopping at Walmart, just as we're going about our day in our normal rhythms, ups and downs, we need to bring conversations and ideas about who God is and how he has created the world and our place in it, in the proper relationship we have to him, into our relationships all the time. It can be as simple as watching a nature show and a weird animal that our kids have never seen pops on the screen, and you just go, hey kids, who made that platypus? And they go, God did. And you go, boom, teaching moment. Like that, it's that simple. Just in other words, just bringing in little things all the way through into our normal interactions. So don't overstress. And there are so many good resources for families who want to lead their families well, and fathers, parents who want to lead their families well, like Right Now Media, or I mean, there's amazing content on YouTube and Netflix that can be used to teach our kids the truth about who God is. So that's the first one. Fathers, godly fathers, devote themselves and their families to the Lord. And that leads us to the second thing we were talking about today. Godly dads discipline the ones they love. This may be the one for you today. Let's look at Hebrews 12, 6 through 11. This is from the English Standard Version. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves. So he's disciplining the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. This is the goal of discipline. This is what we want our kids to experience. We want to be disciplined by God the Father so that we bear the fruit of righteousness that Paul is talking about here, or the writer of Hebrews, anyways. So we want our kids to live the way God wants them to live. That's what righteousness and holiness is. And so we devote ourselves and our families to the Lord. That's the first one. And then two, we need to discipline them in love. But there's a danger. If you look at verse 10 real quick, I don't want to spend a ton of time because we don't have time to get into biblical parenting, biblical discipline, and the role of that in our families. But in verse 10, it says, for they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. So that could sound terrifying. If you got a father who doesn't follow Jesus Christ, like that is a terrifying prospect that they would discipline as they seem best. And we know that they're ruled by their sinful nature. That's just how they are without Jesus Christ and how we are without surrender to Jesus. So we gotta look here to see, okay, so how do we discipline? I know we got discipline in love, but what does that look like? And there's a cool picture here in 2 Timothy that talks about the role that God, who is our model, we should be disciplining like God disciplines us, how God uses his word, the very words of God, to train us. So let's look at this, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. Again, common verse, but it's very helpful. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, that's discipline, correcting and discipline there, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So our discipline needs to line up with God's word. That's how we can model our life after him. So we don't just discipline our kids because they're obnoxious or frustrating or annoying. Like, we know from our study of God's word that our kids, we want to interact with our kids when we see sin. Like, sometimes their behavior is just kids being kids, but sometimes it's their rebellious nature against God or against us and our God-given authority in their life. And so we want to address that in love. And there's ways to do that in love that is so powerful and effective. And I pray that you would look up and research. If you struggle with disciplining calmly and with love, then go and study what it looks like in the Bible to discipline our kids that way. It's so vitally important. But if we follow the pattern of this verse, I made this little picture here that I've seen before. Forgive me for how it looks, but here's the deal. We got to teach and model from the word the right way we should walk. So that's the first part, teach. Then we rebuke our kids to help them see where they went wrong. When they do drift off, we rebuke them to show them the error, the distance. Error is just like the distance from the correct path they should be on. So we rebuke them. And then we discipline them. That's that correction that brings them back onto the correct path. Okay, that's part of the process. And then we provide training to help them stay on the path next time. And then they're going to make mistakes. And then we lovingly rebuke and then we correct them. And we show them, no, this is the way. And because God has given me authority in your life, I'm the one who's going to help you come back onto the path and teach you. This is the path you need to walk. Walk in it. And so this verse shows us godly discipline then is going to be based off of God's word, right? God's word is just what's going to give us that wisdom to be able to love them and discipline them well. That brings us to number three. Our discipline must align with God's word. First, a godly dad devotes their family to the Lord. Second, a dad's discipline those they love, which brings us to number three. Godly dads demonstrate how to follow Christ. They demonstrate how to follow Christ. My kids always want me to watch them. In fact, we just bought rollerblades for the kids. Amanda found them. And so when it's one of the girls' turn to put on the rollerblades, the first thing out of their mouth is, watch me, which the whole process of getting the rollerblades on is extensive. But once they're on and strapped down tight, they're, dad, watch me, watch me. They're constantly saying that. And sometimes I'll be doing something and I'll hear, here, dad, watch me. And I look up and there's my four-year-old son perched on the edge of the couch about to launch himself over a little card table and three pillows to land hopefully on his feet in the middle of the rug. And so they're just this constant craving for our attention. Watch me, dad, watch me. And what I think with this point that I'm making here is that I think we need to stop that, or not stop it, but just acknowledge that's the thing. And then we also need to do the same thing that they're doing to that and say, watch me. We need to be intentional and draw their attention to us so that they can watch how we follow Jesus Christ. So when we went through our study in Philippians a few months ago, we spent a whole week in Philippians 3 on this idea that we need to be people who are modeling a life that follows God, imitators of God. And so in Philippians chapter 3, Paul writes this, brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have on us. And then again in 1 Corinthians 11, he says similar things. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Essentially, all the things that you see in me that are good and that reflect the spirit of Jesus Christ in my life, I want you to copy those things. I want you to model your life off of those things. The things that are sinful, that are broken, that are just still me being worked on by God, you can ignore that. Follow the things that God has already done in my life and the process that I'm going through to be transformed by God. So we just need to live a life that demonstrates to our kids what life in Christ is like. That's a watchable dad, one who is surrendering daily. And again, these are all tied together. So you devote your life to God. Point number one, right? You devote your life to God and your family to God. And then that leads to a life where you can turn to your kids and say, okay, guys, watch me. Watch how I treat my wife. Watch how I interact with my neighbors. Watch how I spend my free time. Watch how I, just every area of my life, watch how I surrender all that to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's the goal. And I just want to, just as I wrap this little point up, remember, your kids are always watching. Like, that's not something you really have a choice in. Like, your kids say, watch me, because they want our attention. But it doesn't matter what we do. They are honed in and watching us every step of the way. In fact, about 10 or 11 years ago, a friend of mine came into my car and changed all of my presets on my radio. This is before, you know, where we had Pandora and stuff where we could listen to music. Changed all the radio stations to country and said, okay, you're on the 2-week country challenge. You can listen to nothing but country for 2 weeks. And I was like, okay. And then I blinked, and several years later, I was like deep into country. I was listening to country all the time. And that phase has passed, and I listen to other things now. But there was a song that came to my mind by Rodney Atkins, and it's called Watching You. And I just wanted to read it because this just helps this point that we all know that you are being watched, and we need to live a watchable life. Check this out. This is the song, goes like this. Driving through town, just my boy and me, with a Happy Meal in his booster seat, knowing that he couldn't have the toy till his nuggets were gone. Ha, that was funny because we always are saying that. No, no, eat all your food and then you can play with that toy in the plastic bag. A green traffic light turned straight to red. I hit my brakes and mumbled under my breath as fries went flying and his orange drink covered his lap. Well, then my 4-year-old said a 4-letter word that started with S, and I was concerned. So I said, son, now where did you learn to talk like that? And then the chorus goes, he said, I've been watching you, Dad. Ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. We got cowboy boots and camo pants. Yeah, we're just alike. Hey, ain't we, Dad? I want to do everything you do, so I've been watching you. So that's obviously the bad example. Like, they're watching everything we do, good, bad, and ugly. But then it gets to this next verse, which just says, we got back home and I went to the barn. I bowed my head and I prayed real hard. I said, Lord, please help me. Help my stupid self. Then later at bedtime that night, turning on my son's Scooby-Doo nightlight, he crawled out of bed and he got down on his knees. He closed his little eyes, folded his little hands, and spoke to God like he was talking to a friend. And I said, son, now where'd you learn to pray like that? And he said, I've been watching you, Dad. Like, so they're always watching us, but just don't you want to be a dad like that? That is influencing your kids to have a relationship where they recognize that in prayer, they can just talk to God like he's a friend. Like, how awesome. So I don't know, it could be good or bad for you if you're struggling with modeling, but this was just so impactful. When I reread these lyrics, I was like, oh man, and watched the music video of the little kid. It just hit home. Like, they're always watching and we need to be aware all the time. And we want to live a life that's watchable so that we can turn to them and say, daughters, sons, watch me. As I follow Christ, I want you to model your life after me. So, awesome. And that leads us to number 4. Godly dads delight in their children. And this is a quick one. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this one, but it's super important because as I was thinking about these other three, it was a necessity to fit this one in. Yeah, 1 John 3:1 says this, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Do you know, like, sometimes you just be reminded, but do you know that God loves you? He pursues you. He desires you in the midst of your broken. Like, that's the part that gets me over and over again, is in the midst of my sin, he pursues me. He loves me. He draws me back, and he's constantly pursuing us no matter what. Like, he wants to talk to me. He wants to bless me. He wants to be with me. What does that want you to do to your heart? What does that do to your heart? It makes me want to be with that kind of a father. But imagine if God the Father wasn't like that. He never had time for us. He held on to grudges and he was all wrath and never justice and mercy and grace. He was just too busy to spend that time. Like, what would that do? Like, I don't want that. Would break my heart. That it would probably push me away from my father. And so I just, as I was writing this, I was thinking, okay. Like, these other things are good, but do your kids know, dads, parents, pretty much anyone, do they know that you love them? Do they know that you cherish them, that you long to be with them? When you get home from work and you're exhausted, that you actually want to spend time with them? Do they know that you pray for them? And that do they see you, like, pouring into them and building into them? Because as I was saying about this, like, a dad devotes his family to the Lord. He disciplines with love and he models a life that follows Jesus Christ. Like, those are good, but without the foundation, the knowledge, that the security that comes from them, our children knowing that their dad loves them, I feel like those other ones are just going to be washed. They're going to hear me better when I teach, as I walk and as I sit and I rise, I'm teaching about God, right? They're going to hear me better when they're secure in the knowledge that I love them. They're going to accept my discipline. that I'm providing in love better when it comes from a relationship that's built on love and trust, and that I've spent time desiring them, like I'm modeling to them how God the Father loves us. And then I'm going to be able to, as I model, they're going to more likely follow my example if they know that everything they see in my life is also connected to our loving relationship that we have together. So I just encourage you, have you told them that you love them? Do you show them? Do they understand affection from you? That's so huge for daughters and sons to learn from their dads. What does real, manly, good, godly, biblical affection look like? So huge. And if that's missing, I think that's a huge chunk that can threaten to derail their relationship with God, but very specifically their relationship with you. Because, I mean, even those stats at the beginning remind us that the father's influence, these are the types of things that cause people, kids to grow up and walk away from God. It's because they didn't see that in their families, in their things. And I want to be clear, too, that this doesn't have to be your earthly biological father, just any influence in your life. Father, mother, it doesn't matter. This is all huge. We need to make sure that we have that foundation. So that's the four things I wanted to cover today. Godly dads devote their families to the Lord. That might be the one that you need to start with. As for me and my house, I'm going to get down on my knees first. Second, godly dads discipline the ones they love. That could be the one that you're struggling with, and you need to take some time to think about that. Godly dads demonstrate how to follow Christ, so we model our life in front of our kids, and then godly dads delight in their children. And I would just encourage you to take some time. I mean, this is hard because, you know, we're at home and just the way that life rolls, it's hard to like time to reflect. But take some time in the next couple minutes to write down what in the next 24 hours even could you do to take a step of obedience in one of these areas, the one that you feel is the most needed for you. Don't try to accomplish all of them at once. The Holy Spirit's a process, it's a journey. But take some time in the next 24 hours, what could you do to take a step of obedience in that? Or in the next week, or in the next month, what's something that you could start to do, a rhythm that you could put into your family life to start to apply some of these things that we've talked about today. And I know this is weird because we're all distant and we're all in different homes, but if you could just do this with me. If there is a dad near you where you're watching this right now, if you could, hopefully it's your own dad or some dad that you know, get up and go put your hand on them, because I want to pray right now for the dads, and if you could just pray with me. And even if my voice is coming out of your screen, you could just ignore my voice and you just pray out loud for your dad or whatever dad is around. But if you could just pray, put your hands on them and just pray for them. That might be weird since we're not all together, but if you could just do that with me, that would be fantastic. So I just want to pray for us right now, and as we close, join me. God, we are so thankful for the dads that you've put in our life, the examples, the role models, even if they're not our own biological dad, the role models of what a good godly dad looks like. And I was reminded of the importance of the church in this whole process of raising families, and the church often will fill in the gap that our fathers didn't provide. Because in the Bible it says we get this whole family of Christ with new brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers in this family, and they will provide a more complete picture of a godly father, regardless of our relationship with our own earthly dad. And so I just thank you for the picture of the church. And God, we are praying right now for the fathers in our life, in our church, in our world that we are around right now, God. I pray that you would bless them, that you would give them strength and courage in the battle, really, that it is to be a father, to be a man, to be a leader of the family. God, I pray that you would help them in that struggle, that you would show them they're not alone, that the Holy Spirit is there to help them. God, help them to get up and get down on their knees and surrender and recognize we can do nothing. We can absolutely do nothing without your help in our life. God, we need more complete and total Holy Spirit surrender in our life from all of us, dads, moms, singles, kids, old people, doesn't matter. That's what we need, God. And so I just pray that that would be the mark, the characteristic of all of the dads that are hearing me right now. And God, for those of us who have fathers who are not saved, I just want to pray right now and join with the people who love them and are the children and family of those dads. And I pray right now that you would continue to do your work, the work only you can do, Holy Spirit, and that is to draw them to you. God, help us to know how to model for them a life in Jesus Christ that is irresistible to our dads who don't know Jesus Christ, God. We never want to give up on anyone who has not yet surrendered to you, God. And we just pray that our lives would be a loud, bright, shining witness a testimony to how awesome it is to live in your presence and be filled with your Spirit. God, we ask all these things in your name, and we just pray that you would bless us as we celebrate dads today. In Jesus' name, amen.